know, I was talking to Pastor Fernando the other day, and he was like, what are you going to preach on? And I said, Jesus, because it is all. And it was like, that's what it's all about. It's literally, it's all about him. It's not about us. It's not about who we are. And it's not about me. I'm a nobody. I went to Millersburg, guys. I went to Fairfield. Napanee, you know, just outside of Napanee. Like, it's not about who we are. It's about him, and it's his story. And without this atmosphere, without the Holy Ghost, we're nothing. Without him, we're nothing. Without what he's doing on the earth, we're nothing. And so I've come today to challenge you. And really, I think the number one thing that my message is going to do today is going to get rid of excuses. Because I've lost all excuse this year. And it's from the story, and I'll share the story. But the guy that you saw in the video of me baptizing, this guy has taught me so much. So much. And so I'm going to get into it. But before I do, if you would like to turn to your Bibles to Ezekiel 36. I know that this service might go a little bit longer. I just pray that you bear with me. I really believe that God is going to move today, and he's got something special for you today. Your life is going to be impacted today, and you are not going to leave here the same way you came. It's impossible. Because I feel the Holy Ghost in this house today. I feel him all over me right now. And every single person that you read in the Bible that came in contact with Jesus or the Holy Spirit or God, any one of the three, was changed, transfigured, moved, completely different. And so that's what's going to happen today in Jesus' name. So I'm going to pray. So Father, I just thank you for each and every heart in this room. Holy Spirit, I pray that you go in and you do what only you can do. I pray that each and every person, that you stir a hunger in their heart, just like the woman with the issue of blood. We can learn so much from her story as she pushed through the crowds to touch the hem of your garment. It was a desperation. So Lord, I pray that every heart in here is desperate. You stir desperation in their heart to not hear my words, but to hear your words, to feel your presence, that it's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we go to the word, Ezekiel 36, verse 26, it says, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit, capital S, my spirit will I put within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to you and your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you of all of your uncleanliness. So this story of this guy, his name, I'm not going to say his name because I'm going to do better this time. No, I think we're recording now. Yeah, we're recording audio, so I'm going to do good this time and not say his name, but this man, I shared slightly last year when I came, and I said I led an ex-ISIS member to the Lord. And this was right before I left. And when I came back, I sit down. I didn't have contact with him. He disappeared. He wouldn't talk to me, this, that, and the other. And I go back, and the first day I sit down on my couch, the Lord says, message him. That's where I normally say his name, but I'm doing good today. But he says, message him. So I message him, and he's like, Josh, where have you been? I've been trying to get a hold of you. I need to meet with you. So we sit down with him. I sit down with him the first time, and he begins to share everything that happened while I was gone. Now, a little backstory. He's ex-ISIS. Throughout this year, I've learned a lot about him. He's got, you know, tally marks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little ones all down his back. Scars. When he came back from being ISIS, he kept killing. He was doing it for money. He was an actual hitman. Like, he showed me the pictures, the assignment, the payout, and he just scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled. Saw all of the pictures. I saw it all. It was just person after person after person. He showed me the cave that he stored the bodies. But Jesus wasn't done with him. And so while I was in America, and this is the heart of it, it's not about us, guys. It's nothing about you. It has nothing to do with you. You're a nobody. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing special, but he is special. But in a place where I couldn't be. In fact, I was thousands of miles away. You see, 3 days before he gave his life to Jesus. And when he gave his life to Jesus, I preached the gospel and then I talked him out of it. My friend Bucky preached the gospel and talked him out of it. Until he was like, I get it, Josh. Like, no, this is what I want. Because I wanted it to go from his head to his heart. I wanted it to be, I believe in my heart and declare with my mouth that he is Lord. I know what's happened. I know. I understand the gospel. And so while I was gone, 3 days before that, he got stabbed before he gave his life to Jesus. Then he disappeared. He didn't talk to me. Well, while I was gone, he wanted revenge. If you can think of how hard an individual is after all of those years of killing, after killing and killing and killing and killing and killing, you're numb, right? So he wanted revenge. So he lured the guy that stabbed him. He had two of his friends who torture people for information. And they lured him into a house and they tortured him for 3 days. And at the end of the third day, he held a gun to his head. And he couldn't pull the trigger. And he puts his gun down and he says, I can't be a part of this anymore. And then he was trying to get a hold of me. And so he sits down in front of me and he's telling me all of this. And at the end of it, he goes, Josh, what's happened to me? I've been hard my entire life. I don't feel anything. I felt bad for the man that stabbed me. While he was being tortured in front of my eyes, I've seen this over and over again. But Josh, now the person that stabbed me, I did nothing to him, but he stabbed me. I felt bad for him. And I've pulled that trigger hundreds of times, if not thousands of times, and I couldn't pull it. What's happened? And as I sat in the car with him that day, the Holy Spirit filled the car. And I said, thus says the Lord God, I will take out the heart of stone. I will put in the heart of flesh. My spirit will I put within you. And I will cause you to walk in my ways. And I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Where everyone in America would have written this man off, God said, no, I'm not done with him. No, I'm not done with him. I'm going to take you from the miry clay and I'm going to put you next to me, seated in heavenly places. He later on he was dealing with this thing, this very natural thing. He knew he was saved. He knew God was on the inside of him. He has tears running down his face that night. And he goes, Josh, it's real. It's real. But months later, he's going, I just could see it on him. I could just, by the Spirit, I saw it. And he was like, the devil was going, how could you ever be in heaven? Who do you think you are? How do you think that you could ever be allowed to be in heaven? And he was dealing with this for months and months and months. And all of a sudden, I saw it on him and I spoke to it. And then 2 days later, he had a dream that he was in a white room, completely white, sitting in a chair in the middle of the room, all slouched down and sluggish. And Jesus walks into the room, lifts his head and said, you're welcome here. If he can change someone like that, he can change anyone in America. If he can change someone like that, There's nobody that is too far gone. I don't care if you're Hamas. I don't care if you're killing people. I don't care if you're ISIS. I don't care who you are. I don't care how far you've gone. I know that there's nobody in this room that's been like that. But I know one thing. That's the point. The point is this. That he comes and lives on the inside of you. It's not about me. It's not about how I do things. It's not how I spoke that day or this, that, and the other. It's not how well I preached the gospel. God was with him. God wanted him, and he was with me, and he just spoke through me. I just yielded to it. I was just there. I said, Lord, you can use me. You can do whatever you want. I'll be your hands. I'll be your feet. I'll be your mouth. I'll do whatever you want. And he did it. See, oftentimes in the church, we think it's about us and how well studied we are, the doctorates that we have, or the discipleship methods that we have. But if we're not pointing people to him, there's no point. Am I right or am I wrong? The number of times that I tried to meet with this guy, after this, he was wrestling through stuff by himself. He would not answer. I'd go to his house. He wouldn't answer his phone. Da, 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 da. And every time I'd meet up with him, he'd be like, well, I'm dealing with this, 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 and God just keeps talking to me about this, this, this. He wasn't even reading his Bible. And it challenged the heck out of me this year, guys. Because we, in the Western church, now hear my heart on this. I'm not talking down on things, but we've got a 12-step discipleship method. We've got books and books and books, and we've got this and we've got that. And we go through it, and we still don't hear the voice of God. But that's the whole point. The whole point is him. The whole point is going, hey, hey, I know you're like in a really bad place, but look. Oh, it's him. And you can talk to him, and you can have a relationship with him. And then literally this whole year, he didn't read his Bible. I kept going, you need to read your Bible. It's very important. You read the word. It's very crucial, but God kept moving in his heart. And God became real to him without even reading the word. And guys, hear my heart. I'm not neglecting the word. That's not what I'm saying. I kept pushing him for it. But the second that he opened the page, because of what God was doing, he met God. He was in relationship with God. God was real to him. The first time he opened the book, it was like, God was just speaking. Just every page he would turn, God speaking to him. Revelations just flowing from him because he's got the main thing right. See, oftentimes I feel that we miss it. We get comfortable and we miss it. And we're like, you wake up in the morning, you get in your routine, you read the word, and you check the box for the day. But you didn't listen to him. You're not listening. You're not stewarding that relationship. It's like you walked down the aisle and you got married to him, and then you check in with him every once in a while. The relationship isn't getting anywhere. It's not getting anywhere. But this is the point. We can't play church like this. And I'm not bashing anyone, but this is just, it's something that, honestly, it shook me. I'm like, well, I went to Bible school, you know. I've got a bachelor's degree now. Like, I've laid my life down for 4 years to study the word, and I'm this and this and this, and super prideful, honestly. I was super prideful. And then God used this guy who was the worst of the worst, who, quite frankly, sometimes I was scared sitting in his presence. And he was like, Josh, sit down. I got this. Bro, you need to read your Bible. Actually, start here. I think you should do this. Da-da-da-da-da. And it was all God. He did it. He did everything. But this is liberating, guys. And this is the point. You see, Jesus, what did he do? People follow. We were talking about this last night when we were at my friend Mark's house. You know, the Bible says the feeding of the 5,000. A lot of theologians say it was 5,000 men. Add women and children, it's like 15,000, something like that, right? Imagine that. 15,000 people. And this isn't just, that's just one account. Many, many times. I always question, Jesus would go, don't tell anyone. Why? Because he had enough people following him all the time. Like, but why? Because they saw the life that was on the inside of him, and they had to have everything that he spoke. Every word, they were hanging on his lips. They were hanging on every word that came out of his mouth. But what was the design? I have to go. She read it. I have to go, and I'm going to send the helper. I'm going to send the promise so that you can have him living on the inside of you. You can have a part of me. You can have me on the inside. And oftentimes, it's like you know that Jesus is in Goshen, Indiana, and you're like, I'm just going to go do my own thing. If Jesus was here, and we knew Jesus, like he was going to come and visit, everyone would be here, right? But they don't realize that he's on the inside of you. He's sitting on the couch with you in the morning. Just speak to him. And this is so crucial, because I come to a church, not this church, but it could be this church. It doesn't matter. Many churches in America, and it's rules. It's this. It has to look this way. It has to be like this. And if you want, you can turn with me to Galatians 5. I'm trying to roll through some of this stuff, but I think you're hearing my heart today, because it's so important. I was in a church last week. A lot of people come from the Amish background, and they're coming out of that, which, praise God, like, so amazing. But we see, even on the other side of the world, Islam is just a bunch of rules. Judaism, the law, a bunch of rules. I'm not saying they're bad rules, but they're not him. And so as we read, I want to paint this picture, and then I'm going to switch gears a little bit. In Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, the law. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, the law, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again that every man who accepts circumcision, he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace." Grace is not just like the greasy grace thing where, like, oh, you can live how you want and then it's okay. Grace is God giving you the supernatural ability to live a holy life, to live free from sin. You can't do that without grace. He gives grace to the humble, right? Humble meaning, I know that I can't live this way without you, which then draws you to him so that you can live like that. But oftentimes we go back to this. We go back to the rules. We go back to, like, if I brought Marshall and sat him down right here the first week after he got saved, people would get up and leave. He was so intimidating. I almost wanted to leave. I'm not saying like that there's a problem with you guys. I'm just saying, I was like, man, like, you're like way worse than I expected. Like, but this is the fact of the matter. It's not about what it looks like. It's about, hey, and this is how I disciple people. This is what the Lord's done in my heart. He's taught me how to disciple this year, which I thought that I had it figured out, honestly. I come up to my guys and I go, what's the Lord dealing with you? Like, what's going on in your heart? Because they have no idea what it means to hear the voice of God. They have no idea what it means to what conviction is in their heart. Condemnation, cutting between those things. One day, they get saved, and that week they're like, man, I just love pornography. And then the next week you go, what's the Lord doing in your heart? What's going on in your heart? Well, this week, like, I was watching pornography, and it just was like, I got, like, sick to my stomach, and I'm like, that's the Lord. And then they recognize, they start to understand that the Lord is doing something on the inside of them, and you're pointing them to Jesus and not pointing them to your method. Now, here in my heart, I'm not talking that methods are bad. I'm not saying that. But if the method is without him, you know, we make disciples of ourselves instead of disciples of him. And so that is number one, and that's what this is saying. It says, as I continue, you have fallen from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well, he said. This is Paul writing to the church at Galatia. He's like, you were doing so good. Who hindered you from obeying this truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is troubling you will bear the penalty of whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, then why am I the one being persecuted? Same way Jesus was persecuted. He came preaching this thing that it's not about the rules. They were self-righteous. The people of the law are the ones that put him on the cross. Self-righteous. They thought that they could do it, but they were wicked to their core. Because Jesus was saying, it's not about, like, yes, I understand. You should do away with some of those things, and all those things will come. But if they don't have him, they're not going to ever be able to live. You know, there's a statistic in the church. 70% of men watch pornography in the church. And I know, we look and we go, ew, disgusting, gross. And I don't look at the sin. I look at the fruit. What is it a fruit of? It's a fruit of not hearing his voice. It's a fruit of not being in relationship, because if you're in relationship, he'll give you the keys of how to get free from that. That's why, like, I've got Marshall. He's, oh, dang it, I said his name. I've got this guy. God is doing so much in his heart, cutting through so much dirt and grime, and he's sitting there smoking a cigarette, and God's dealing with him. Most people be like, you need to stop doing that right now. And I'm like, just chill out for a second, because God is working on this very specific area in his heart. There, you know how many times I see my disciples, like, all stressed out because God's working on one specific area in their heart, and I'm like, bro, I used to smoke. Light a cigarette, bro. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to deal with this part, because you're co-laboring with the one. You're co-laboring with him, and you see that God's touching this part of his heart, and you go, okay, listen, I know that the cigarettes will fall off. It did for me. It wasn't immediate, but it'll come. But cigarettes and alcohol, and those things are just it's a branch from the heart problem. And God's working here, and you're trying to cut branches off, and he's like, just work with me. And so when we begin to understand whose will it is, it's not my will, it's his will. When we begin to, instead of him following us and, hey, you do what I, you know, you're with me here. Instead of that, we go, you take the lead, follow. I will follow you wherever you go. You tell me what to do. Lord, what are you doing in this man's heart? How are you working in this man's life? And then you being the mouthpiece, you being full of the word, you being well studied, allow the Lord to speak through you. Oh, you're dealing with this? Word, 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 word. And then it's not opinion, it's the word of God. And the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, divides between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and people start getting discipled, they start getting closer to Jesus, and things begin falling off of their life. And then you don't have these people who are years and years and years and years bound by this stuff, and they don't know how to get out, but they go to church every Sunday, they check the box, sit there, three hymns, a short little message, and nothing happens. It's the truth. I'm not talking bad, it's just, it's religious. And you're severed from Christ. That's what the word says. It's literally picture perfect what he's saying here. And at the end of this passage, he said, you've got two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love him. He'll take care of it. We read it at the beginning. I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It's not Josh. Josh isn't going to come in and be like, hey, you need to take care of that. Why? Well, because I said so. No, that's not what it's about. It's about being connected to the Lord. Where I'm at, where we're at, we're all they have. If we're gone, they don't have the body. They don't have anybody. But if I get kicked out of the country, then I get nervous. And this is part of what the Lord did this year, because we have been there for a year. Now we're here for another year. We're as my wife was talking, we're helping people go through like being poisoned by your dad, you know, persecution that we've never seen in this country. And you're discipling this person, you're pointing him to Jesus, and you're like, I have to leave because God's calling me to go to another nation. I don't want to leave. Tears, many tears have fallen for us going to we left Lebanon. We left Jordan. We've traveled to many, many countries, and we light fires and we get our hearts stirred for this person, and we know that we're only here for 2 weeks and we have to go to the next one. So what do? You don't point them to you point them to him. Because if something happens, I get kicked out of the country, I know that they're connected to him, the discipler, the true discipler. I can never know what's going on in their heart. I wasn't there through all of their life, but he was. He knows why they're dealing with it. He knows what they're dealing with, and he knows the root of it. So why don't we just co-labor with him and get lined up with him so that we can be more effective? See, if you make it a cookie cutter way, if you do it this way every single time, you're not gonna get everyone. But you'll get everyone if you connect with him and you go and you focus on your relationship, you point people to their relationship, and then when you're sharpening each other, when you're coming to disciple people, you go, okay, Lord, I'm here. You ask the right questions. You're asking questions of what God's doing in their heart. What do you feel, even if they don't know it's God, has anything changed this week? Anything out of the ordinary? And then you can point people. That's actually the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit working. Now I'm going to switch gears here, because I've spent the last 20 minutes talking on how it's not about us and how it's not what you have, it's who's in you. So why can't we tell people if it's not about us? It doesn't matter how old you are. Listen, I'm humbled right now. I'm younger than most of you in here. Humbled to be able to speak, and I speak humbly. I don't come with a hammer. I'm very humbled to speak to you. You know, you guys have much more life than me. But I will speak the word, and I will speak what's true. And I know that the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8, what's the point? Is the point that we come and we get refreshed and we drink for ourselves? Is the point that we have the gifts of the Spirit only in the church? Acts 1:8 says, I will come upon you. I will give you power to be my witnesses. I'm telling you, one person in here, this, you know, some people come into a church and they go, well, it's, you know, we've got like 40 people and it's little. And I'm like, that's 40 more than this Goshen, Indiana needs. Jesus, one man full of the Holy Ghost, would go into a place and everyone would be healed. One man full of the Holy Ghost can shake an entire nation if he yields. And we've got 40, 50 in here. Goshen will be shaken. Elkhart County will be shaken. I don't care if it falls on deaf ears. There's going to be one, at least one. But I'm believing that many, many people in this room are going to feel the fire burning on the inside of them. Listen, I was just at a conference in Tampa. 85-year-old man got touched by the Lord. He flyered his own apartment complex Like 400 doors at his apartment complex. Yes, it's Florida. It's a big apartment complex. He gave away groceries and two or three bill pays. So you can go, you know, you go to the place and you do AmScot is what it's called down there, and you do a bill pay, and then all you have to do, they give you a blank thing for a bill pay, and you just put their name. It's like a blank check to pay their bills. You do that, and you get do some flyers, you play some music, and you do that to everyone, and there's people that are going to be in need, you know it. And he's 85 years old, and he goes, listen, God's going to use me. God's going to use me because the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of me. 85 years old, flyers by himself, flyers each door, little piece of tape, puts it on the door. Like 40 or 50 people show up, 40 or 50 salvations. He laid hands on every single one of them. People are out under the power of God. They're weeping because the presence and power of God's all over them. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It's are you gonna do it? Are you going to be the one drinking at church for yourself, or are you going to be drinking for the city? Are you going to be drinking for your neighbor, the person you're working next to? Are you going to be fasting and praying and believing God for that person that you know that God just needs to touch them in your workplace? And you know that nobody's praying for them, but you're believing for them. You're standing in the gap for them. Will you allow the Lord to speak through you? Or will you go through your normal routine? Will you do one thing after another, the same thing over and over, over and over, and over and over? Because those who are hungry, those who it's become real to, it's easy. You know, we were sitting with Pastor, and he was like, you have a gift of evangelism. And when I left there that day, I was like, God, I have a gift of evangelism? Like, what? I remember the day that I was shaking like a leaf, scared to share. I remember when Nadine wouldn't even pray with me at the dinner table because it was weird to pray. But he's so real on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit's here today, guys. We have a treasure in earthly vessels. A treasure living on the inside of us, guys. To see Goshen shaken. Listen, I can't make you share. But if you get this one thing that Galatians is talking about, forget the rules, have him. I promise you, the closer you get to him, you won't be able to contain it. It's impossible. God took Peter, a guy who walked with him. Imagine this for a second. Just go here. You walk into cities and you watch Jesus heal all. Imagine walking into Goshen with me, just for instance. And you were following me and every single sick person, every demonized person got healed. And then you denied that you ever knew me. But then the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you're the first to preach. That's literally what happened. He watched all this. For 3 years, watched all this. And then God says, go tarry. Go wait. Just wait. Just wait. You're going to get the promise. You're going to get what the whole point. The whole point of the gospel isn't just for me to die. It's not just for me to die and be resurrected. It's so that you can be connected with me. And I'm telling you, one guy, one woman, one man, full of the Holy Ghost can shake an entire region if they understand this principle that the gospel doesn't stop at his resurrection. It stops never. It doesn't stop because it's multiplied. It's multiplied. It's multiplied. Every time we go and we preach, every time we, if we believe in what he can do, this is what happened to me this year. I'm ruined forever. I'm literally ruined, and I'm trying to ruin you too. That's my goal today, guys. I did nothing to him. I almost said it again. I did nothing. I preached the gospel, and I made sure it stuck. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. And if you can get the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, you have faith that he's not finished. Paul says, Apollos planted, one plants, one waters, God gets the increase. You don't know what you're doing when you're planting seed. You have no idea what you're doing. And it doesn't matter how old you are. I hate that. Oh, I just love seeing the younger folks getting on fire for the Lord. Man, I will run next to an older person. You're in charge. Let's go. Let's go do this thing. You know what I mean? I'm not going to stop until I die. Retirement, what's that? Forget that. I can't do it. I already have a problem standing in that, sitting in the house. Nadine and I say, well, we're going to have a day off today, 11:30. Hey, you want to go somewhere? You know what I mean? It's like, you just go. There's so many people. You can do it. You've got the same power living on the inside of you. And you've all been commissioned. All of us. Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:15, you all know it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. All of us. Believers will lay hands on the sick. Believers. Not just, he's given the fivefold to equip the saints for the working of the ministry. Paul told Timothy as a pastor, hey, go do the work of an evangelist. Everyone, go do the work of an evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. If you think that you're exempt from evangelism, you need to go back to the Word and find that it's for every single one of us. If you're a pastor, you've got to go get people to pastor. If you're a teacher, you got to go get people to teach. If you're a prophet, you got to go get people to prophesy to. It doesn't matter. You got to go get people. And that's what's going to shake this place. That's what's going to fill these seats. There's too many folded up chairs over there. Too many. For as many people are hurting and broken out there, there's too many. And I challenge you today, 1 year from now, that you take everything that you heard today and you get one. That's all I'm asking, one. One, if everyone in here gets one, there'll be a couple more chairs next year. You do it again, Fernando's going to have a problem here before you know it. We'll have to start a good problem. You know what I mean? One. Just one. And what's happening right now, as I speak, God's giving you the one. He's putting that person on your heart. You know exactly who it is. I don't care. I don't care who it is. I don't care how far gone they are. God is giving you that person right now. And so this is what I'm going to do before I take too much time. We're going to bow our heads. You see, it's all about consecration. It's all about just saying, Lord, I'll do it. I'll go. I don't care if anybody else goes. I'll go. I'll do it. And there's no shame in it. That's what church is about. Church is about getting people back on track, getting people. There's no shame in, you know, I'm not going to say backsliding because that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about getting comfortable. There's no shame in that. But where there is shame is when you hear a message like this, which is clearly the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. And you let life go on, unchanged. I'm telling you, if one person in here, two people, four people, five people would just take what I said today and understand that it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. All he needs is you to open your mouth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that you are a new creation. He's given you he's reconciled us to him, and then he's given you the ministry of reconciliation, as though God himself is pleading through you. The second that you open your mouth, you will be shocked. Each person in here, the devil, his number one tactic is to keep your mouth shut. Fear of man comes on you, all of that. Open your mouth and you will be blown away at what God does. And so if that's you today, that you believe that you could go to another level, if you believe that maybe you're not as consecrated as you should be, if you know that there's been times that God's spoken to you because you have a relationship and you haven't said anything, even though he told you to, that's okay. But it's changing today. If any of that, I don't care if you're on my team. I don't care if you've been in the ministry for 40 years. I don't care if you used to do it, but you're just not doing it now. Fresh fire today. And it's taking the step of saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I consecrate myself to you again. I lay myself on the altar. And if that's you today, I just ask that you come forward. And we're going to pray. I believe in drawing a line in the sand. If there's any of you, it doesn't matter who it is, come forward. And we're going to pray together. Anyone at all? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost.